Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Executive. Today, we're at the Venture Summit. It's a great conference where founders are meeting investors to potentially raise capital from them, build long-term relationships in Colorado. We've got investors from all over the country. And we got a special entrepreneur here today, Eric Matisik of High Wing. Eric, so good to have you here today. Thanks for joining us.
Awesome. I really appreciate you having me here, too. I'm excited to have a chat.
I'm excited to chat about what you're doing with High Wing. We'll have to go into your background a little bit because you've done so many things. You founded Denver Startup Week. You founded Commons on Champa. You've been involved in so many different organizations. So High Wing's got to be pretty compelling for you to go start that and actually put your focus and attention there. Can you tell us a little bit about High Wing? What do you guys do and where are you guys going?
Absolutely. So High Wing is the first open data platform for commercial insurance. We connect the world's largest brokers and the world's largest carriers to transact insurance. The problem that we're solving in 2023, we discovered in 2017, where inside of one of the largest brokerages in the United States, IMA Financial, co-founder Rob Cohen and I were ideating as to what the opportunities could be in the space, and we realized that inside of his massive business, you know, he had over 60% of his servicing team and workers were sending emails back and forth to transact billions of dollars of commercial insurance with the world's largest carriers. And we asked a bunch of questions to all the other brokers and other carriers, and we realized this was a universal problem in the industry, that email is the main mode of transit to transact over $500 billion of commercial insurance annually. Wow. In the middle and large commercial market.
Almost zero technology.
Almost zero technology. Wow. So these are companies at the high end, like Marsh and Aon and Willis and Gallagher, and then brokers number 5 through 100 that you know on a regional level that are all doing really, really great work with the biggest and largest companies in the United States. The insured still fills out forms via PDF or very, you know, cursory forms. There's still lots of Excel schedules. There's still lots of manual work that's happening in the industry. We decided we'd build a digital platform to change all that, and over the last 5 years we have.
And over the last 5 years, so this came out of IMA. Is it a standalone company now?
It was. We spun out of IMA in 2020.
Okay.
We had a seed round that was led by a great group of institutional investors and a portfolio of awesome strategic investors, and we've been out on our own since then.
Very cool. And what's the team size now? What's the team size now, and round of funding are you working on right now?
Sure. So currently, we've got 24 awesome teammates. We're a fully virtual remote first company. So from Boston to, you know, California,
we're all time zones.
We're spread out across the U.S. Currently, you know, we've raised a Series Seed, which has got us to where we are today. We're in the process of raising an institutional Series A, and we've been working on that greater part of 2023. And one of the reasons we're at the Venture Summit is just to kind of continue the dialogue, and we're later stage in a lot of our discussions. And so just to, you know, continue the discussions with some of the great investors that we have here locally as to what the opportunities could be.
And as you raise capital, you've done it before, you're raising another round, you've seen many of our entrepreneurs raise capital. It's not the easiest environment to do it. What do you think is like kind of the keys to success in making sure that you're able to do so in this environment?
Yeah, over the course of my career, I've been directly involved with and have raised over $50 million of series, friends and family, series seed, series A type capital. So I've always been an early stage, founder or someone that worked for early stage founders in my career. And so I would say that, you know, 2022 end of and then 2023 is probably the hardest capital market I've seen in my career as it relates to venture finance. I think that it's really pushing entrepreneurs to do what they do best, which is survive, and be really resourceful and cash efficient as to how they're managing the resources they do have, and having to reset some expectations as to the value journey that they were on, maybe historically 20, 21, 22, and having to reset some of those valuations and just perspective as to how they're going to grow the company from here forward, because where the venture market is in terms of investing is, whether it's valuations or whether it's terms, it's a very different market than it was 18 months ago.
And as you build this company, having done Denver Startup Week and many other things and been an entrepreneur, you're such an entrepreneur at heart, right? What are the things that you're really trying to take into this company, whether it's the culture or leadership that you've seen from other great entrepreneurs? What are you really trying to replicate in High Wing?
So one of the big principles we've always had in High Wing is that we're an insurance business. And it's no secret that insurance isn't the most exciting industry in the entire planet. And so we wanted to make sure that in a space that has had a moniker around not being innovative and not being exciting, how do we create really deep excitement, really deep cultural, purpose-led, activities, and at the same time make people feel like they have a really strong sense of purpose and sense of being part of a bigger picture as the work we're doing within the firm. And so we've been culture first from the very, very first day of the business. It's been really important for us to hire the best and brightest in our company, because we're solving really massive, complex, really challenging problems. Yeah. And we're doing it in an industry that historically moves slow and doesn't have a lot of technology and isn't at the very front of the innovation curve. So to attract the world's greatest technologists to work on massive technology problems in an arena that doesn't or hasn't historically had a lot of, I would say, breakneck technology activities, it takes a special sauce. And so we're highly collaborative, highly transparent, highly inclusive. I think we, just like, the way I run my day, I think we expect all of our employees to do the same thing, which we're all firefighters. Yeah. As an entrepreneur, you walk in the office
full-time.
And you're a full-time firefighter. And yeah. Every single day, it's a different fire that you're fighting. And that's not any different whether you're a software engineer in our company or whether you're a product leader or whether you're a client success leader. Like, there is a fire every single day inside of a 24-person company that we have to put out and we have to do elegantly. And on top of the water, we need to look like that beautiful white swan. Right. And underneath the water, our feet are going 1,000 miles an hour to try to solve something that we may or may not know how to solve. And so attracting humans that get excited about that is really critical. Empowering them to be part of something bigger than themselves, and most importantly, recognizing for the work they're doing. We're working our tails off, and so how do we celebrate those on an ongoing basis internally to make people feel like the work we're doing is not only purposeful, but they were meaningfully part of it. And so those are some of the hallmarks of some of the stuff we're doing inside Highwing.
Well, you hit on something that's interesting. Startups are so fast moving, you have to be, right? That's your advantage. But you're in an industry that's not. So how do you, move fast as a competitive advantage, but unfortunately you're still in the industry. So not get frustrated that things are not happening as fast. You probably can't get groups to move as fast. How do you deal with that?
So you're in commercial real estate, and right. So commercial real estate is a sister industry that
it's very similar.
That, from a technology perspective, has been a tail end or laggard in some of the technology innovation, especially when you think about just the process of doing leases and the same paperwork and structure that you've overcome over the last few years. We're in the middle of overcoming in the middle and large market commercial arena. And what I would say is, as it relates to the tempo that you move at to solve those problems, it's really important for us to use time as our advantage, meaning that as a startup, the only advantage we have is the amount of time we have to solve a problem and the amount of cash and capital we have to extend the amount of time we have.
Yeah.
So for us, we want to do as much as we possibly can within the time frame that we can accomplish it. On the flip side, we have clients that operate on their own clocks. Longer lead times, longer sales times, longer implementation times. And so for us, it's a game of mathematics. How many things can you put out there?
Right.
So over time, you have lots of volume of things hitting. So whether it's new deals, new implementation, sales growth, submission growth, like all the things that we track internally, if we can have a lot of things happening at once, the law of big numbers takes over, and incrementally we're starting to grow the business nicely. And so that's how we've attacked that. I think we always like to say that our slowest day is our client's fastest
day.
And so, but being cognizant of that and setting our tempo against it has been really, really powerful for us as a team.
And you probably find this, because I find this commercial real estate, you find people are, they just don't want to change, right? Like they don't, something that can make them more efficient, faster, that's just not for them, right? And then you find those that are like, they see the value immediately of getting time back to spend on more high value activities. And those are the ones you probably latch onto, right? And you're like, this is our customer. Like, we'll 100%. Eventually get to this group, but right now, these are the people we need to really focus on.
Yeah, if you've ever read Crossing the Chasm, when you understand the dynamics of an early moving or fast moving market, the early adopters is where we spend all of our time driving energy. And so in the world of insurance, we look for markers like, are they innovative? And when we say, are they innovative, are they actually innovative and actually practicing innovation? So do they have processes and structure to actually be innovative? Are they taking a lot of risks internally? Are they buying new software platforms, implementing large software programs? Are they trying to take risks to move the organization forward? And do they have leaders that embrace it? And so when we find the combination of those three things, those are definitely clients that we like to work with because they're already, you know, predisposed to being innovative. They want to be better and they want to improve themselves and they want to take risk on software platforms that will help them accomplish that. We live in that planet. In the world of insurance, there's clients all over the map of comfort as it relates to those three things. And so, you know, when we have those three things aligned, we work with you ad nauseum, 24 hours a day, every day, and we're super pumped about it. If not, we're trying to convert you to those three things.
Right. And that just takes a little longer.
Yep. And so it's a part of it. I mean, we talk a lot just about being in the game. And there's not a question in our mind that we're working on the right problem at the right time. We just need to be in the game long enough that when the world and the industry arrives at a point where there's a tipping point where this is the way of the world, we're there and we're the ones that are leading it.
You're established. You're already there. You're already talking to all those same people that are finally realizing the change. I want to talk about you a little bit because for people who don't know you, you seem to know everyone in the city. You're really well connected. You've started so many great things for our city. We talked about Denver Startup Week being one of those things. How have you built such a great network? And how important is that as a founder, CEO, to have that kind of network?
That's a great question. I think I appreciate you saying that. I would say that there's a lot of things we've been able to build over the last decade in Denver that includes a lot of people that have been part of building those things. And so one of the hallmarks of the work that I've been involved with is that although I've been a part of it, we've had huge groups of people that have shared purpose in building some really awesome things like Startup Week. That's, you know, many, many, many hands create light work. And that's a really good example of that. And so I always try to find myself in a place where it's really purpose-driven, where we can get a lot of people to donate their time and energy to go do radical stuff. And a lot of the projects I've been involved with are very similar to that. In terms of the network question, I've always found that anything in life that you want to create with real value, at its core, always happens with people. And the people are the differential in building great companies. They're the differential in achieving great success. They're the differential in having lasting purpose. And so I've always over-indexed on the people that are in my immediate circle and then the people that are outside of my circle that, you know, I want to make sure that they're aware of the work we're doing because they might at some point have an interest or want to be involved or engaged. And I think just keeping that tent really big is really helpful. And so for me, I love humans. And I love all types of humans.
That's
and so,
very genuine.
Yeah, so it's just like I just love it. And so I think finding people's powers and circles of genius is really, really critical. And then matching those to things that they can be really impactful is really powerful. And so I spend a lot of my time trying to understand the people that are around me and where they can be part of something, connected to something, or connected to someone where they can go be their best and most optimal self. And I think in the journey of doing that, you build a lot of great relationships because if people are doing the things that they are naturally good at with people that are doing the same thing and they have awesome outcomes, like it's just really fun to be a human. And so for me, I've always tried to over-index on that. I try to be super generous with my time and my energy and my efforts in the community. And more than anything, just get people in the right place where they can be really impactful. And if you do that, you know, secretly, they go do it themselves. And then they're trying to match people and match opportunities and match projects and match ideas. And, like, if we have an entire city and community that's trying to self-organize all the right people in the right places to have high impact – like, that's a radical place to live. And so I just try to find myself in that situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, a lot of great leaders, they all have, like, a superpower. Some have many, right? But one of yours that seems like that you're talking about is being able to connect people with their passions, which you, you know, have done in the past. But as a founder, you're kind of doing that with roles, right? You're like, what is the perfect role for this person that you probably don't even have to check in that often with them. You just come back and you're like, oh, wow, you've made so much progress. Would you say that's true?
I would say that's true. I think, you know, it's when you look at building startups, like the people are the differential, and so every single hire matters, and every single hire at every level matters. Yeah. And so when you over-index on the humans in your company, you have to make a decision of like not can they do the job, or did they interview well, but you've got to make a decision of like do I want to work with this person for the next 10 years and can we develop together over the next 10 years to do some amazing things that create the outcomes that we're both trying to create, both personally, but also within the business. And so that just creates a much larger aperture on the front end. And so we spend a lot of time in the early process of interviewing people and just really trying to uncover those things, because we want to make sure that they're really committed, but they also know that we're really committed to them. Like, you know, having
it goes both ways,
having a place where, you know, we're equally trying to say, hey, if you're here for 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, like, we want that experience to be so valuable that it's part of your story into whatever you do next. Like how do we map those things so it becomes a springboard for you to go even do more radical things in the future? Because that's what this is all about. And so, you know, I think it's really, really important. I think it's also equally important is that when people don't fit, you know, it's like, Danny Meyer, who famed restaurateur, always talks about, you know, building restaurants and building organizations are like puzzle pieces. Like, you can take a puzzle piece, and if you try to put the puzzle piece that doesn't fit into a specific place, you push on it and the edges fray, and then ultimately you might be able to like force the puzzle piece into the spot that you're trying to put it into, but the puzzle piece doesn't look good. The puzzle piece is frayed. It's in the spot, but it's not really fitting in the spot. And so I've always used that analogy in building startups. Like, it's not a function that you're not a great puzzle piece. It's like you're just in the wrong puzzle. And so we try to identify early on that if you're in the wrong puzzle, like, let us help you get to your puzzle, because everyone deserves to be in a place where their puzzle piece fits and they feel super valuable and they fit hand in glove and it's super awesome and they feel like they can be their best selves. If I spend all my time fraying the edges of a puzzle piece trying to force someone into an organization that doesn't naturally fit, it's not good for them. It's not good for us. And, you know, long term, it doesn't create the value that we're trying to create together. And so it's just, you know, people are everything. And I think leaders and entrepreneurs that really realize that if you start with the people, the business, the market opportunity, the outcomes, like, they just happen. They self-manifest if you pick the people right. And if you don't pick the people right, like, you're going to struggle in every single one of those chapters, you know, as you try to build your company.
Speaking of people, through everything you've been doing, you've brushed shoulders with some of Colorado's best entrepreneurs, I'm sure, right? Have there been certain things that you've seen with them that you're like, that trait is what makes them so great, or they did this that I want to take into my business? Is there anything that really sticks out of your head?
I think Colorado is like a gluttony of awesome entrepreneurship. I feel really blessed that I've been able to see so many different entrepreneurs with so many different backgrounds and so many different personalities lead really successful companies. I look at the early days of SynGrid with Jim Franklin, and, you know, he put together, you know, the four H's that, you know, really powered that business early on, that gave them a set of principles that as a person, they reflected who he was and who, you know, the founder of SynGrid was. And like, they put together this amazing platform that it was just, you know, he and Isaac were like, this is what we are and who we believe and how we want to build a company. And, you know, the company went off and was highly successful. I think there's other entrepreneurs like Andrew Durand at Ping Identity that, you know, has ground out a business like literally for two decades. And it's been so amazing to watch him like grow from being the, you know, in the garage entrepreneur to the scrappy, try everything against the wall, throw everything against the wall, like, till it works type entrepreneur, to finding that product market fit, to completely throwing out your business model and then building a new business model and then going down the private equity route and then ultimately going public and then going private. Like, that is an amazing journey to watch, because the human is the same, but it's like a metamorphosis over time of watching him develop as a leader. And, you know, his high level of empathy, his ability to communicate, and his ability to, like, be a cheerleader on all levels for his organization maintain the same. And so it's really, really fun to watch that over, you know, a long period of time. Because it's just really powerful. And I would be remiss to say, like, someone that's like a omnipresent in our community, Brad Feld. I mean, he walks the talk. I mean, he's one of those people that, you know, when you hear the word give first and a lot of the things that they put forth when he and David Cohen were putting together Techstars in the early days with Nicole Galeros and crew, like, that was an ethos that was alive and well. Well, that was reflective of how Brad, Nicole, and David really operated. Like, they were just hyper genuine, hyper generous. And if you know Brad to a T, like, it doesn't matter the project, it doesn't matter the deal, it doesn't matter the activity. Like, he takes time to give first every day, all the time. And it's like, those are principles that they work. And he's had a highly successful career. And I would argue that his success is highly tied to the fact that he spent more of his career giving things away than he did accumulating them. And, you know, sometimes the richest people are those who give away the most. And, you know, he's definitely reflective of something like that.
That's a great perspective. And they've done so much for this community in terms of entrepreneurship and philanthropy. It's been incredible to have that give first mentality be all over Colorado. I mean, that is the mentality, which is 100%. Awesome. So unique. Well, we're obviously at the Venture Summit. What's brought you here? What's the, you know, obviously you're raising capital and you can build those relationships, but what makes the Venture Summit special and, you know, why are you here?
I love the Venture Summit. I had the chance early on in the early days, David Gold and Brian Wallace and Jody Shepard. When David Gold was starting the Venture Summit, I was at the Colorado Technology Association and had the chance to really help them found that and put together, you know, the early phases of Chapter One. And it's really amazing to see, you know, when you look out to today, how it's evolved into becoming the seminal event annually where you've got, you know, 80 or so investors and 80 or so entrepreneurs that come together to really rub shoulders to do deals. And I think it's always exciting to be here. It's always exciting to see long friends and new friends on the entrepreneurial front. I always say founders are special. You know, they participate in a special kind of sport, and only if you're a founder do you know how to play the sport. And so it's really fun to be in a room of founders because we all talk the same language. But it's also great to spend a lot of time with and see the venture economy grow in Colorado. You've got really, really great firms that have been here for a long time that have been holding us up, like Access Venture Partners, who's heavily involved in the work of the Venture Summit. But you also have a bunch of new firms coming in from out of state and here locally that are putting flags in Colorado. And it's just awesome to see the breadth of scale of what's happening on the capital side, because as we have more capital come into the state, we have more opportunities for entrepreneurs to build bigger and badder and better companies. And the combination of those two things is kind of all comes together here at the Venture Summit.
Such a great sign to see so many more investors interested in Colorado, given the success we've had over the last 10 years. And there's just so many great companies here, so including High Wing. So Eric, just appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for being in the room, and look forward to seeing what High Wing builds.
I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me. I wish you a ton of success with Rise and obviously all the work you do in the community. Taking these narratives and these dialogues and making them live is super awesome. And it's fun to go back and, you know, see all the people you've brought together, interviewed, and archived for us. And so thank you for the work you're doing. It's awesome.
I appreciate you saying that. There's been so many awesome entrepreneurs I've been fortunate to interview. So thanks for saying that. Yeah. Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.